You know, in a lot of ways, Jacob is the hardest to understand, I think, out of the stories in the book of Genesis. It is also maybe one of the more relatable to our experience. So we are going to walk into the story of Jacob stealing Isaac's blessing. Does everyone know this story? Because I was originally thinking I was going to read it and then walk through it and read it again, but since the chapter's about 50 verses, I'm not sure I want to read it twice. So I might just read it once. But the overview is, Jacob and Rebecca are kind of deceptive. And so let's pray. And then we'll walk into this story. We'll walk into reading this story. And we'll find out what God's messages are for us. So let's pray. Lord, we need your energy and we need your strength, God, to lock into your truths. God, just even reading Psalm 119 this morning and the desire and the heart that David had to run in your commands, and oh, that he would follow your commands and saw the preciousness in your commands and wanted his heart to connect to them. And Lord, what your principles are for life, grant us the will to hear them, to remember them, and to follow them. And so, God, we ask for your help. God, you have written these words to teach us things about you, about the world. And I pray, God, in my own heart, I do not want to just give a message and not follow. God, save us, God, from our mistakes. And I pray you show us yourself, and I thank you that you joyfully will. And thank you that you're here with us. We ask your blessing on this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Okay, so we're going to walk into a story. I'm going to give you a little overview. There's no hero in this story. Jacob, Esau, Isaac, Rebekah, none of them do very well here. There's deception, there's separation, there's pain, there's heartache. And yet, amazingly, this all accomplishes God's purpose. Which is just wild. But as a result, I wish they got there a different way. But as a result, Jacob has to flee. He never sees his mother again. There is a mess in this family that is created by lack of trust in God. And you think, with all the selfishness and deception here, God's plan would be foiled. Lying and cheating and stealing. And God does things through this. It's kind of a miracle. God is bringing about his plan and his purpose, and we're going to just see it, and it's really wild. And we get to learn some things about God. So let's start. We're going to start in chapter 26, in verse 34. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri, the Hittite, and Basemath, daughter of Elon, the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. Okay, this is relevant. Esau did not marry in God's plan. That's why it's relevant. He didn't trust God for a wife. He didn't follow God's plan for a wife. And this is kind of important because Abraham told Isaac, right? He told his servant, go get me a wife for my son Isaac who's not a Hittite. Because for God to bless, for it to go through the line, we're not going to marry any of the wicked people around us. And so Isaac gets Rebekah because of Abraham's faith there. Esau does not have the same values. Right? Understanding from the New Testament, he's godless. He does not trust God here. And so it's just a lesson for us that that you can marry in God's way and you can marry outside of God's way. And we can just kind of have a determination, okay, I'm going to wait for God's best at God's time. And Esau doesn't do that here. And we know God cares. So God wants to create trust. And so when I am thinking about getting married, I've got all kinds of desires. I've got all kinds of wants. I've got all kinds of passions. And those passions can steer me away from God. And God wants to see faith and trust in Him in hard circumstances. And so that matters to Him. Like, God created this wonderful, beautiful story with Isaac and Rebekah because there was faith involved. And so I think in that story, I see, this somehow matters to God. It matters to God because of the line, but it matters to God because of faith. And that's part of the themes in Genesis is faith from Abraham right on through. So I wanted to mention that. So now let's start in verse 27 or chapter 27, verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver, bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so I may give you my blessing before I die." Okay, we'll stop there for a second. Let me ask a question. Who should have Isaac blessed? Jacob. Right? So, do you remember from a couple weeks ago? So they're in the womb. Esau, Jacob, they're in the womb and there's crazy stuff happening there. And Rebekah goes, "What is going on?" And so she asks God about it. And God says, "Hey, there's a fight in your womb going on. And there are two nations here. They're going to be opposed to each other. And the older will serve the younger. The younger one's going to be the one who's going to be blessed." But Isaac didn't seem to care. Isaac is driven by the values of the day. Hunting. Isaac is driven by worldly desire. I like food. I like this guy. He gets me really good meat. And so he is in direct opposition to the God here. He should never have blessed Esau. He should bless Jacob. Now, I was thinking about this. It says that the communication about who he was going to bless, the older will serve the younger, was given to Rebekah. So Isaac had to believe it. So it's possible he just didn't believe Rebekah. But I don't know. He was in direct opposition, or he just didn't believe, but either way, it's bad. Now, this is where the Hittite women come in. Isaac also knew God wanted, He wanted the promise to go through a line of people, and He knew his dad got him a wife from the other people. He knew what God wanted. He knew you couldn't marry the Hittite and marry the wicked people and have God's blessing go through that line. He knew that. And I wonder, so Isaac, why didn't you tell these guys a long time ago, don't marry a Hittite? I don't know if this is hard for you to put in your brain. It's a little hard for me to put in my brain. Esau and Jacob here are 77 years old. Like, he had a lot of time to explain God's plan enough and say, this is how things are supposed to go. A pagan woman would pollute God's plan to bless all the nation through his descendants. Right? And so then in verse 28, or chapter 28, one of the first things that happens is Isaac tells Jacob, don't marry somebody from here. So Isaac knew. He knew. So he was going to bless Esau, who has Hittite wives. Which kind of makes it all worse. He knows the importance of having a godly wife. And so I think about Isaac and I go, Isaac just wanted what he wanted. He just believed in his perspective. He didn't trust God, and he didn't do things God's way. And he liked Esau, and he liked Esau's game, even though Esau was God's. I think that's what Isaac's walking in right here. Okay, let's read the next section here. Verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die. Now my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, but my brother Esau is a hairy man, and I'm a man with smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, my son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me. So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. And she prepared some tasty food. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older son, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son Jacob. She also covered his hands and his smooth part of his neck with the goatskins. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. Okay. So there's a little bit of secrecy going on here. First of all, we have Abraham. Let's picture Abraham blessing his sons. Abraham, he blesses it, the whole family's there. It's an event. This is the portion you get, and this is the portion you get. It's almost kind of legal. It's this big family event of blessing. Is that the way Isaac does this? No. This is kind of secret. Behind closed doors. Hey, Esau, go get some game so I can bless you. Why isn't Rebekah there? Because Rebekah's not going to like that idea. She's not going to agree with him. Rebekah's going to oppose him. So Isaac kind of does this in secret. Well, of course, Rebekah's listening in. See how dysfunctional this is? And so Rebekah does all her things. And it's amazing how much deception is here with Rebekah. Like, she talks her son into deceiving. She talks her son into lying. And then remember, at the end of the chapter, and we'll get there, when all of it happens, and all of a sudden Esau's trying to kill Jacob. And so she goes before Isaac again. And she says, Oh, we can't let my son marry a Hittite. I couldn't. And she like lies and deceives and manipulates her husband all over again. And so it seems to me like this is this mode of kind of life for Rebecca. The whole drama is a web of deception, conspiracy, and secrecy. Let me ask you a question. Did you get what you wanted? Yes. But I think she wanted her son to be heir of all of Isaac's things. She wanted an important position for Jacob. She liked Jacob, and so she wanted him to have things. She probably wanted him to be close. But what happens to Jacob? He becomes a servant of Laban, basically an indentured servant. And she never sees him again. Esau also moves away. And so then she is left with her and her husband, who I'm not sure about their relationship. And so you go, man, that's hard. And the principle is kind of, if the way of not trusting God is hard. Proverbs 13:5 says, the way of transgressors is hard. Like, it's not just a principle, it's a proverb. It's hard. And Genesis shows us that. All right, let's keep going. The sinning gets worse here. Verse 18, he went to his father and said, my father. Yes, my son, he answered, who is it? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of your game so that you may give me your blessing. Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The Lord your God gave me success, he replied. Oh man, he just brought God's name into this. Back away from that boy. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not. Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. Are you really my son Esau? He said. Now what he's going to do? He's stuck. I am, he replied. Then he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing. Jacob brought it to him and he ate, and he brought some wine and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's riches and an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you be blessed. All right, we'll stop there for now. He flat out lies to him. Bold-faced lie. Brings God's name into it. And certainly, his mother put him up to it. And guys, there was an oracle. This was promised. So in one sense, it's theirs. But they should have trusted God rather than taking it into their own hands. The Bible is littered with people who took things into their own hands instead of trusting God. But I think about, okay, let's dream about, what if they trusted God? Okay, God's going to do this. God's promised this. So Rebecca's praying, Jacob's praying, Esau's being a bonehead, and he's trying to bless. So Isaac's being a bonehead, sorry, and he's trying to bless Esau. So he goes in the room, he's like, let me bless Esau. What could God have done? What would God have done? An angel shows up, right? You know, for Abraham, there was a miraculous lamb caught in a thicket. There would be miraculous things that happen right there. Think of the story that would be. And Esau went out, and all the game ran away from him, and he could never find any. I don't know what the end of the story is, but God would have intervened because he promised. Because the oracle's from him. And I am robbed of this awesome story of God coming through. Because there's no trust here. Now, I still have an awesome story of God blessing and being true to his word. It's a lot different than Abraham going, Lot, take whatever land you like. I know God will give me this land. He said it. I trust him. I can be selfless because of it. It's a lot different. And so I get kind of frustrated at Jacob here. And then you know what I think? I kind of do that. Ever lied? And then you have to kind of lie again. And then you kind of get deeper and deeper the farther it goes. And then you're kind of in it. And I just go, ah, how deception can spin out of control on you. And I think about how much, well, I think about, did Jacob get what he wanted? No, probably not. Yeah, he becomes a servant over his brother, which is part of what he wanted. When his brother bows down to him, that's true. But, you know, when he comes back and meets his brother, he bows down to his brother first and calls him Lord. There's some great, awesome thing that happens there. And you know what happens to him is he has so much deception. Becomes kind of a man of deception. You know, his kids deceive him into thinking Joseph is dead. And he gets deceived from his kids for decades. And I don't know if Jacob gets what he wants. And I think about the sin of lying and deception, and it's so hard because it's so internal and nobody else knows it. It's not the sin of, like, you know, anger. Everybody sees. There's other sins that are very out there in the open. But kind of the sin of lying can be very underneath. And it can be a hard one to break. And as we can see in this story, it doesn't have good consequences. And so to believe that to tell the truth is a short-term loss, maybe, but a long-term gain. With God. And if it's a sin that in yourself you struggle with, to get some accountability and to believe to beat this is to be stepping into greater blessing of God. And I think we can really see some of the dangers of lying and deception here. All right, let's continue on. Verse 30. Genesis 27, verse 30. After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I'm your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, bless me too, my father. But he said, your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing. Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these two times. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. Then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Isaac answered Esau, I have made him lord over you and have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? Esau said to his father, do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father. Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. Okay. This is kind of weird. We don't really live in the world of blessings like this. But when Isaac blesses, it's not a wish. It's not a prayer. The blessing is, it's authoritative. It's permanent. It will happen. It can't be revoked, as we see here. And he says, those who bless you, Jacob, will be blessed. Jacob will be the nation that is blessed. And so they obtained, Jacob and Rebekah obtained what was theirs. They obtained it by deception. And it's kind of shocking. It's very shocking. Now, I want to keep going here because there's some things I want to get to. Verse 41, Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. Seems reasonable. He said to himself, the days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob. You don't see it here. He nursed this grudge for a long time. Isaac lived another 43 years. So when Isaac goes, let me bless you before I die, he's a little premature. And it's... when Rebekah was told that her older son Esau had said she sent for her younger... So let me rephrase here. So I don't know how long he just said, hey, after my father dies, his father's still alive at this point, I'm going to kill him. So it could have been the next day, or he could have nursed it for a long time, and then Rebekah found out. But when Jacob flees, just to be clear, his father is still alive. So anyway, Esau has this grudge. I'm going to kill Jacob. When Rebekah was told that her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, your brother Esau is consoling himself with the thought of killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. That ended up being a long time. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from there. Which would have been a good plan had she not died. Why should I lose both of you in one day? Then Rebekah said to Isaac, I am disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living. So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him and commanded him. Do not marry Canaanite women. Go at once to Padan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. And we'll pick up in verse 3 in a few minutes. So here's the result. Surprise, surprise, we have angry Esau. We have Jacob being exiled for 20 years. We have a beloved son that will not be seen again. Okay. So what are some lessons? What are some lessons we pull out of this story? Lesson number one is God keeps His word. This is unbelievable. No matter what Esau wanted to do, it didn't matter. God said the older would serve the younger. God keeps His word. And related to that, God's blessing does not depend on man. Jacob was blessed. Should he have been blessed? The next lesson. If you do not do it God's way, you will pay a high price. I think David's life is interesting in this manner. So God tells him you're going to be the next king, and then has him wait and run from Saul and have opportunities to kill him and kill him again. And David doesn't, and he waits and he trusts God and he says, I'm going to do it God's way. And God blesses David and blesses David and blesses David and blesses David. And then there's a time with Bathsheba and Uriah where David does not do it God's way and he pays a high price. And when you do not do it God's way, the price is high. And you know, sometimes in Hebrew, the word for waiting and the word for trust are the same word. And so those concepts, like there are psalms where one psalm will say wait in one version and a different version it says trust. And so as a concept, they're a little bit tied together. So when I think of, okay, trusting God, oftentimes trusting God means waiting. It means patience. You know, one of the things I see in this story is haste. Like, Isaac was really hasty, wanted to do this blessing thing quickly. He's not going to die anytime soon. Maybe he thought he was. But then we have Rebecca and Jacob like, quick, get the food ready and get the cabin. We got to do this before Esau gets back. And then Esau's angry, and there's no like, okay, we'll try this, and then we'll try this, and then, you know, we could pray. Like, it's this very like, okay, you got to get out of here now. Flee. Quick, flee. And so one of our red flags is if you find yourself in haste, if you find yourself rushing, maybe the red flag goes up and you go, okay, what's the trust meter right now? Where am I at? Next lesson, I don't know what number we're on. It's a verse you all know, but it really is a lesson from this story. In Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. There we go. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Okay, this is true. This is true for believers. This is written to believers. This is for believers and unbelievers. If you live for the pleasures of the flesh, you'll reap corruption. What use if you sow to the Spirit? you reap life. So what you do, what you think about, the words you say, what we sow to, we reap. And it seems to have a connotation when it's talking about, therefore let's do good to all people. Is part of what they want you to sow to is others' focusedness. Sow to love for other people. Sow to other people being first. If you sow to that, you reap good things. You sow to the Spirit. We can't just sow to the things of the world. You can't just sow to, you know, I received a call from a friend recently, and life was going so good for him. And then he just started sowing to the flesh. Now life is really hard for him. Not really hard. It has the potential to get really hard. And it's getting harder. And so you can almost hear Paul going, don't be deceived here. Yeah, sow to the Spirit. God is not going to be mocked. You're not going to go, oh, God will give me His promise and it'll be so wonderful. And I can do whatever I want. I can do it my way. Because we kind of see a story here in Genesis where these people got blessings and they got promises, but it was, you just wish it would have been different for that whole family. And so, even though the promise came through, the principle's still true. You reap what you sow in this world, and the things God says are their protection, they're good. And I need more of that will in my heart. That will that says, I want to follow God because I love God. I want to follow God because I know that's the way of blessing. I want to trust God because I know He'll come through because His word always stands. I need more of those type of thoughts in my life because we all know, we're all in this together. We know the way we want to go. But to strengthen that resolve, yes, this is the way I want to go. And that's why, I think that's why Paul says it. Okay, there's another verse we need to think about here before we end, and it comes from Hebrews 11. A strange verse, if ever there was one. Hebrews 11, verse 20 says this. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. Wow. Wow. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. How can that be when it seems like Esau is acting in the flesh so much here? That's my question. Here's where I put those pieces together. Genesis 27, verse 33. Isaac starts trembling, right? He trembled. And he realizes he's blessed Jacob. And he admits, yes, and he shall be blessed. And I think a little bit there, Isaac realizes, hey, I've been fighting against God here. I've known what God wanted and I have tried to go the other way and God is getting His way anyway. And there's a submission that happens. And he kind of submitted it. And I want you to think about him here. So Isaac hadn't received the promise. He hadn't received land. He wasn't ruling over over nations. He hadn't become a blessing to the world. But in faith that it is coming, in faith that God is still involved, he passes this promise on to the next generation, even though for his whole life he hadn't seen it. But he knew it was going to come. And when he saw, wow, I think he interpreted all these events and he saw, this is all providential. God is in this. And when he saw that, he stopped rebelling. When he saw that, faith came into his soul. And you know, he didn't try to reverse the blessing. He didn't try to go, well, I'm going to bless Esau. Which is probably what he wanted to do. But he didn't do that. And I love, this is where we're going back to verse 28, or chapter 28. This is what he does, this is what he says when he sends Isaac away. Sorry, Jacob. I think I've been doing that all message. Verse 3, may God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham so that you may take possession of the land where you now live as an alien. The land God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent. So what does he do? He reaffirms the blessing. He prays the whole blessing. And he has changed. This is what he wants. This is what he sees God doing. So I think in the end, Isaac rolled over and submitted to God. He accepted God's providential purpose. And he knew the promise would be fulfilled through his son. I think he knew it. And in that faith, Hebrews goes, there it is. To not see it your whole life and pass it on to your son, faith. Faith worthy enough for Hebrews 11. So I'm going to ask a couple questions here as we close. Is there a place in your heart that you need to say, okay, God, I give? It doesn't happen to what happened to Isaac here. Okay, God, I give. I was trying to get what I wanted. I was trying to hold on to something. I don't want to let this go. But okay, God, I give. Next question. Is there a place you're sowing to the flesh? Is there a place where there's a pattern in your life of sowing to the flesh? Rather than sowing to the Spirit, rather than sowing to the others. If you're sowing to pleasure outside of God's plan, that will walk poorly. Last question. Is there a place that you need to determine to trust and wait for God to act? Is there a place you need to determine to trust and wait for God to act? And I think those three questions. Is there a place I need to give? Is there a place I'm sowing to a flesh? Is there a place I need to determine to wait and trust? I think those are the lessons. Those are the things we can bring. And we can know that God's purpose holds true and his word stands. So let's pray here as we close. God, it's amazing to see you break through in Isaac's life. God, we'll get to watch you break through in Jacob's life. It's amazing to watch your word stand and you keep your promise with a bunch of sin. God, you are amazing and you are faithful. And Lord, we want to pray together. Father, would you help us trust and wait for your best? Lord, would you help us plant seeds that will grow up to ripe, good, delicious fruit in our lives? And if there's any place we're fighting you, God, would you please reveal it and grant us grace, grant us belief in your goodness to roll over and to give you your way. Lord, we pray those things and thank you for Isaac and Jacob in Jesus' name. Amen.